morning we'll be in chapter 31 of Genesis, verse 1. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said to Jacob, Return to the land of your fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with you. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock, and said to them, I see your father's countenance, that it is not toward me as before, but the God of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father has deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. If he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, the ring straked, all shall be thy hire, then bear all the cattle ring straked. Thus God has taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lift up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring straked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spoke unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, Here am I. And he said, Lift up thine eyes and see, all the rams which leaped upon the cattle are ring straked, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban does to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed the pillar, and where you vowed a vow to me. Now arise, get thee out of the land, and return to the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, Is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? Are we not counted of him as strangers? For he has sold us, and has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God hath taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God hath said to you, do. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he carried away all his cattle and all of his goods which he had gotten, and the cattle of his getting which he had gotten in Padan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images of that were her father's. And Jacob stole away unawares to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river, and set his face toward the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him, and pursued after him 7 days' journey, and they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night, and said to him, Take heed that you speak not to Jacob, good or bad. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. And Laban said to Jacob, What hath you done, that you have stolen away unawares of me, and carried away my daughters as captives taken with the sword? Wherefore didst thou flee away secretly and steal away from me, and did not tell me, that I might have sent you away with mirth and with songs, with tabouret and with harp? And has not permitted me to kiss my sons and my daughters. You have now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spoke to me yesterday night, saying, Take thou heed that you speak not to Jacob, good or bad. And now, though thou wouldest needs be gone, because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my God? And Jacob answered and said to him, to Laban, Because I was afraid, for I said, Peradventure you would take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live. Before our brethren discern you that what is thine with me, and take it to thee. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maidservants' tents, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images and put them into camel's furniture and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, Let it not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before you, for the custom of women is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. And Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Laban answered and said to Laban, What is my trespass? What is my sin? What that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas you have searched all my stuff, What have you found of all thy household stuff? Yet it set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge between us both. This 20 years have I been with you. Your ewes and your she-goats have not cast their young. The rams in the flock have not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought to you. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day of the drought consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in your house, and I served thee 14 years for your 2 daughters, and 6 years for your cattle, and you have changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely you had sent me away now empty. God has seen mine affliction and has in my labor of my hands and rebuked you yesterday night. And Laban answered and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these children are my children, and these cattle are my cattle, and all that you see is mine. And what can I do this day to you, to these my daughters, and to their children, which they have borne? Now therefore come you, let us make a covenant, I and you, and let it be for a witness between me and thee. And Jacob took a stone and set it up for a pillar. And Jacob said to his brethren, gather stones. And they took stones and made a heap, and they did eat there upon the heap. And Laban called it Jegar-Sahaduthah, whatever that means, okay? Mouthful. But Jacob called it Galeed. And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and thee this day. Therefore was the name of it called Galeed. And Mizpah, for he said, the Lord watch between me and thee when we are absent one from another. If you shall afflict my daughters, or if you shall take other wives besides my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness between me and thee. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap, and behold this pillar which I have cast between me and thee. This heap be witness, and this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap, and that you shall not pass over the heap and this pillar unto me for harm. And got the God of Abraham and the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge between us. And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning, Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them. And Laban departed and returned into his place. That's a mouthful, wasn't it? Now let's go back and see what we can get out of it. We know that this is not a history book. As a history book, what good would it do you? We got to find out how to apply the principles of this into our life. The principles of Jacob and Laban and Leah and Rachel. Starts off and said that, and Jacob, it should say Jacob. Jacob heard the words of Laban's son. Now the word heard there is shama. He heard intelligently with the intent to respond. He heard something and he had an idea to respond to it. Correct? They were talking negative of him. What would you use a word to describe what they were to him? Jealous? They were jealous because the inheritance of their father that they thought they were to inherit went another direction. So Laban's deception came back to bite him. Would you say that? He deceived somebody with all his wealth. He continued to deceive and deceive and deceive. And guess what happens? He loses it because of that. And they said that which was our father's has he gotten all his glory. So the credit that Jacob's getting, they feel he stole it from their father, which would be their inheritance. In the natural, can you understand where they're at? Let me ask you another question. Now, you know this, in these shadows and types, things jump around. And you got to see the context of where we're talking before you can determine what something is, right? So who would or what would Laban represent in this part of his life? With Jacob. Who would Laban represent? Have you thought about it? Carnal mind. About the carnal mind, the thinking. And this, who has been controlling for this 20 years, who has been controlling Jacob? He's let Laban, the carnal mind, control him. His sensual drives, right? His emotions and feelings drove him for his 2 wives, right? Controlled by Laban. Then wealth is controlled again, and that's the desire for wealth and power. Drove him again. And it's coming from Laban, who just points out to be the carnal mind. In the carnal mind, do you think it ever gives anything up freely? It always says, give, give. Never have enough. So when all this is going down, and Jacob is not stupid, he's a man of God, he's got a little discernment, he's hearing that everybody's dissatisfied with him because he's getting too powerful. You get too powerful, your jealousies come in. Goes right back to Cain and Abel. And Jacob saw the face, not the countenance, but the face of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as what? Well, the word before is an amazing word because it says the day before yesterday. It doesn't say before, it was the day before yesterday. Now, look on the, I want you to look at something on the board here I'm going to do. Here's today, right? Now, the day before yesterday is where? Look here. If this is the day, and the day before yesterday would be what? Is that a coincidence? He said over here. And actually, you should reverse the numbers, and it should go the other way. Because on the first day, and the day it's the third day. Right? That's what the language actually says. It was the day before yesterday, which would be pointing at 3 days. And we know 3 days is very important in the understanding of God's pattern. Breaks out into the day before yesterday, which would directly mention 3 days. Today, yesterday, and the day before that. And we know on the first day, when we, quote, begin our walk with God in our Passover experience, we know that just about everything is acceptable. I mean, it's a circus. Because we don't understand yet. We're still children in the lives of God. So when we come to this third day, guess what? There's a change. Things don't look the same. Like Job said in Job, whatever, it's in Job. He said, I think it's 13, 34, and 35, something like that. He said, in the first 2 days, they hear nothing at all in one of the translations. But anyway, in the first 2 days, they hear nothing at all. So in our Passover and Pentecostal experiences, we can kind of get along. Because if we're all walking in ignorance, what level of ignorance makes you any more than anybody else? Ignorant is ignorant, isn't it? So it doesn't make any difference. But when we come to this today, this third day, everything looks different, and you notice something. As we was talking earlier about this pastor that invited me to go to this dinner here a few years back, I walked in and sat down in this church in the basement, and they were having like 50 or 60 people there, maybe 75, I don't know, a bunch of people. And they were supposed to be leadership from churches all over the county. And when I came in, I sat down, and I just sat down, and I thought I was in Babylon. I mean, in the marketplace, buying and selling. I mean, you wouldn't have believed all the, it sounded like a bunch of guineas, just talking, and they all talking over each other and hollering, and just, I mean, it was like a rock concert or something, where they was fighting around in there, pushing and shoving, and just crazy. And I just sat there. And a guy sat across from me, and he looked over at me, and he said, you're not like these people, are you? I said, thank you. I said, you noticed? He said, yes, I noticed. And we started a conversation, and actually we got together, and he came visited a couple times. We went out and had dinner together a couple times. And then when we got to the real truth, he wanted something different, but he didn't want the truth because he'd had to give up his idols. You know what I mean? So that's okay, you know. It's okay to be different. I've been in rooms of, it wasn't his time, but I put the seed there. That's all I had to do. I didn't have to make him believe anything. But you got to understand that it's okay for these people to look that way. But I've been in rooms of people with hundreds of people and been alone. Be the only person in the room. I mean, there was people all around me, but no one saw me because I wasn't like them. You know, I was an outcast. Happens a lot, and you got to learn to live with that. That's the way it is if you're walking in this third day. And the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. Now, you know, when this whole thing started with Abraham, he was told to do what? Get out of your land, get away from your father's house and your kindred. But there's a time when God's going to separate you, and it's called this day right here. Today, the third day. He's going to separate you from all of man's religion. Now, he's not going to make you stay there. He's not going to make you leave. He's going to entice you with the truth and the love of God to move on. There's going to be a desire in your heart that this stuff does not satisfy me anymore. And he wants to see if you love him more than anything else in the world. And Jesus gave the two commandments to the Pharisees and said you have to love God more than anything in the world. Love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and love your neighbor as yourself. That means an unconditional love that you've got to have in your heart for all of God's creation. And that ain't something you can do and work up on your own. Because the natural mind cannot accept everybody else. And when I say accept it, I don't mean everything goes and doesn't make any difference. It means I can see through, and you can see through what they're doing and see that it's beyond their control. It's just like a dog barking or a cat chasing a mouse. I mean, they can't help it. They're going to chase something to move. It's an instinct in it. And in the natural creation of humanity, these things happen. We don't have the ability to love unless, well, Jesus used the same example in the gospel. He says, even the Gentiles love their own, don't they? So that's no big thing, but you've got to love the ones that don't love you. There's a show of the love of God. You love the ones that hate you. That's the mark of a brother. He said, you'll know the brethren by their love for one another. Unconditional love. But here, Jacob is, for once in his life, he's becoming obedient to God. He's really going to become obedient. He's going to go against the flow. And when you decide to pack up and leave man-made religion, rules and regulations, what's going to happen? All this conflict. I used to use the example years ago of it's time for Mama Church to birth out the son. And at the time, just like when Michelle's just had a baby here, well, how many days has it been now? 10 days? So 10 days ago she had a baby. At the point of delivery, we know you had a very easy labor if there was a labor there. But under normal conditions, when that baby is in the canal to be birthed, who's in distress? The baby and mama's distressed. The baby, because he knows he's got a destiny and he don't know where he's going. Just like when we're being birthed out of man's system, you're going out whether you like it or not because it wasn't your call. You're going out because God's got a call in your life to move on out and go someplace else. That's part of life. And both are in distress. The one because they don't want you to go, and the other because he don't want to go because it's comfortable where he's at. That's the pattern God shows us. And it's not going to be easy, but he is still going to get you birthed out regardless. Leaving your father's house, your country, and your kindred. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field to his flock. Now, and he said to them, I see your father's countenance, or his face again, and it's not toward me as in the first day, but the Elohim of my father has been with me. And you know that with all my power I have served your father, and your father has deceived or cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. And he said thus, the speckled shall be thy wages. Then all the cattle bear speckled. Now the word speckled really isn't speckled. It's really spotted in the language, but that's what they put in King James. And if he said thus, the ring strake literally means striped. So if there's cattle going to be striped, that's what it's going to be. Shall be your hire, then all the cattle or all the flocks, that's the sheep and goats, bear striped. Every time you see the word cattle in this chapter, it's not cattle. It's flock. It's talking to sheep and goats. And thus Elohim has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. God took it away. Is he saying, I took it? God gave it to him as an inheritance. Doesn't the scripture say the wealth of the sinner is heaped up for the righteous? Hello? Jacob was not righteous because of what he did. Why was he righteous? Because God chose him. Because God said he was righteous. That's why. And see, if we will hear in our lives the same thing he said to Jacob, read the New Testament. And there's about 40 things I could say. I can't quote them all now. I've got a list somewhere I could give to you. But there's 40 things that God says you are in the New Testament. And not one of them is a sinner. He says you're holy, you're righteous, you're unblameable, you're not guilty, you're unaccusable, you're sons of God. Now tell me what's bad. See, and that's what Jacob heard there. And that gave him the ability to stand up and do what you got to do. When you know that you have the ability to make mistakes, but God's mercy and grace goes beyond your ability to make mistakes, far greater than your ability to make mistakes. So if you understand that, what his grace and mercy is, why would you be upset about anything? You hear what I'm saying? If you understand that his grace and mercy far exceeds your ability to screw something up, then what are you worried about? Because he's in control of what things, Bob? If it's all things, then what am I concerned about? If it's not my plan, I'm just taking a ride on this trip here, and he's driving, what am I concerned about? What should I be doing? Like the Greyhound bus commercial said, take the bus and leave the driving to us. You get on God's bus, you don't have to worry about the driving, do you? You don't have to make the planning. I don't have to have some vision for the church 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. Hey, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and that's up to God to take care of all the rest of it. I know my business, and I'm not expanding out into somebody else's expertise. This is where God's got me. You see what I'm saying? I don't have to do something down the road because tomorrow will never be here. I'm living in today. I'm living in the present tense, now. And tomorrow's going to be now to me too. It's going to be present every day, every breath I draw. It's now. I can't live in the future and I can't live in the past. Absolutely. You've overcome it. There's no more wrestling in the mind anymore after that. Where did I leave off at? 9 or 10. And it came to pass at the time when the flocks conceived. Now that word conceived is not correct. It literally means when they came in heat. Conceived when it's already happening. He said, at the time when they came in heat, that I lift up my eyes. And every time you see in Scripture something saying, he lifted up his eyes and looked afar off, or he lifted up his eyes, what's he saying? He's looking into the spirit realm, in a higher realm than what you were in. So he's looking into the spirit realm and seeing something. And he said, I saw a dream, and behold, the rams, that's the males, which mounted the cattle, or the sheep and goats, were striped, spotted, and speckled, striped, spotted, and grizzled. And the messenger of God spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see all the rams which mounted the sheep and goats are striped and spotted and grizzled, because I have seen all that Laban does to you. God saw his enduring ability to be in humility and set under someone. He let the natural mind control him to a point. And in the writings of the New Testament, it says that we are all under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Until the time appointed of the Father. Do you know what Laban was doing to Jacob? He taught him a whole lot of things, but he was also rendering justice to him. Jacob done a whole lot of conniving in his day, didn't he? A whole lot. So he's getting a little bit of his own medicine. And when you reap what you sow sometimes, or I should say most of the time, or all the time, when you reap what you sow, you're generally going to learn some humility out of it. Yeah. Yeah. And you're going to have stripes and spots and speckles all over you before it's done. No, it won't be pearly white. So he said, I'm in 13 now, and I am the God, and that word God is not Elohim, it's not Yahweh. It's a different word, and it means I am the strength. I am the strength of Bethel. So what is that? Bethel, I is the what? House of God. So I am the strength of the house of God. So tell me what's talking here now. There you go. It's the Spirit. He said, I am the strength of the house of God. What are you? You're the house of God. He was talking to the house of God and said, I am the strength of the house of God. He was saying, I am the Spirit of God. That is the strength, isn't it? Didn't he say in Psalms, they said, you are my strength and my high tower? So he said, I'm the strength of the house of God, where you anointed the pillar and where you vowed a vow to me. Now arise. When God begins to reveal himself to you, there's only one thing you can do. In the book of Revelation, what's he say? What's the Spirit always say? Come up. When God begins to reveal himself to you, there's only one thing you can do, and that's elevate your understanding. You can't stay in those lower realms when God begins to reveal himself to you. You must elevate into the third day. So he said, arise now and get out of this land and return to the land of your kindred. Correct? What's your kindred? Your family. Now, I want you to hear what I'm saying here, because this is important. Not about your natural family. This is an allegory. It's a parable. It's a metaphor. Who is your family? It's God. God's your father. So when I go back to the land of my father, am I ascending back to the heavens, or am I descending back into Egypt? Which way is it going? Come on. I'm ascending because he said, arise. Come on up. It's time to go now. Step up into this next realm and go on. He said, but get back to return to the land of your kindred, or your family. But you got to know this. As it said in James, it said, the natural man, or man looks into his mirror and sees his natural face. The word natural is the word Genesis. And see, my Genesis face is not the Adam face. My beginning, Genesis means beginning. I began in God. I didn't begin in Adam. So my face, and see, the church world says that's your Adam face. No, it's not. Adam face is came long after my Christ face. Because Christ was formed first in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Let there be light before there was the sun, moon, and stars. That was Christ. There's my beginning. So I got to look beyond Adam and go right on back to where I belong. That's what he tells us to do. Come on into the spirit realm. And Rachel and Leah answered, or responded, and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance for us in the Father's house? Natural statement, right? What does the women represent here? The soul, but it represents how many of them was it? So it's a witness, and it's the first two realms of our experience. It's still soulish, okay? It's not come to the spiritual realm yet. So they're still looking for that natural inheritance. So is there anything left over there? It's all been put over here to our husband's side. Well, in the Old Testament it said he owned the cattle on 1,000 hills. Well, let's revise that, because now he owns everything. And that's what we're seeing here. The soul finally says, you know, we better go along with this, because it's not going to be good for us back in our old natural realm. He said, and they go ahead and make this statement in 15. Are we not thought of him as strangers? Because he has sold us and has quiet devoured our money. The word money here is the word kesef in the Hebrew. It means silver, atonement, or redemption. That he's already consumed our redemption. If we stay in this realm of our natural man, guess what he's already done? Didn't Adam already consume that? Thank God that Christ came along and made us all alive. Verse 16 goes on and says, because all the riches which Elohim has taken from our father is ours, and our children's, or our sons. Now then, all that Elohim has said to you, do it. So they're going to fall in line. See, when your man raises up and becomes the Christ he's supposed to be in you, your woman inside of you has no choice but to go along with you, because the internal controls the external. And the woman here is the external part, the emotions and everything. And guess what? When Christ takes his place, how could the woman not stay with him? She's going to go with him. Fill it with water. Whatever he says, do, do it. Do whatever he says. Same thing. Be obedient. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels, and he drove away all of his livestock and all of his possessions which he had gotten, the livestock of his what? Of his acquisition, which he had gotten in Padam Aram. And what does that mean? It's a field. It speaks of earthly. It's a place of Syria. He's a Syrian. That speaks of duality. And the field speaks of earth. It's the pride, the high-mindedness. In that place of pride, it was in a high place. To go to Isaac, his father, in the land of Canaan. And what is the land of Canaan? It's a low place. People of low degree or low land. Now, he was in a high place and went back to a low place. Do you see the parallel of Jacob's ladder? He was in the low place. He went to the high place. He comes back to the low place again. The messengers on Jacob's ladder were ascending first and then descending. Jacob was in low land, went to the high land, came back to the low land. See, you don't have anything to give to the humanity on this earth until you have ascended into the next realm, into the higher realm, to come back with the spiritual truth to give to somebody else. And there's where the church world falls short, because they're all looking to get into the Holy of Holies. That's not our goal. Our goal is not to get into the Holy of Holies, but to go there and come out so I can give you what was in there. See? So I can share my experience of God with you. That's the only thing that's going to bring you on through. Because if I stay in the lower realms, or if I go into the Holy of Holies and stay there, guess what? What good would it do anybody else? See, I'd be isolated. I go in and come out. Just as Jesus came from above to help everybody, he came down here for us. Guess what? We got to go out to everybody too. 19, right? And, right? He was the first of many brethren. We got to be the same way. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and that's typical in that realm, isn't it? Everybody's shearing the sheep. I'll let that and go. and Rachel stole the images that were her father's. Now see, that shows you what the soulish realm will do. It will try to hold on to everything that you can get a hold of in this religious realm. When they leave the Passover and Pentecostal realms, they try to take everything that's in that Passover and Pentecostal stuff and take it with them and go over here and try to live in the third day with all their stuff. Acts 27, 19, 20 says what? In the third day, they lightened the ship with their own hands. It means you've got to see in your own mind that God doesn't need all these trinkets. He don't need all these little doodads and all this stuff that we think we need in the Passover and Pentecostal realm. Paul said it very well. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. When I become a man, I put away childish things. And see, there's a place where we have to learn that that stuff is childish. It's got its place. Didn't say destroy it, did it? It just said, get it out of my hands. I don't want to hold on to it anymore. Okay, verse 20. I'm trying to pick up where I left off. And Jacob did what? What did Jacob do? Well, but the language don't tell you the truth. The language here tells you the truth. This English language don't tell you. It said, Jacob stole away unawares to Laban. It should say this, Jacob deceived the heart of Laban. Jacob deceived the heart of Laban. So it tells me that Jacob was not in total perfection. He still used deception because of fear. And he tells you about it later, I was afraid. You know, fear will make you do things that are ungodly. You'll do things the carnal man would bow to that the spiritual man will not bow to. The spiritual man in Jesus never bowed to anything carnal, did it? And he's showing you, if you're under the control and supervision of the Spirit of God, you won't do it. But in your processing time, you will make those mistakes. And thank God for mercy and grace then. So he stole away, he deceived the heart of Laban, the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. Omitting the truth sometimes is just as big a lie as not saying anything. I mean, it's the same thing. If you're telling a lie or just omitting some of the truth. He left things out. He didn't tell him what he was doing. And he did it for one reason. What was it? Fear. He was eat up with fear. He was afraid of him. If he trusted God, would he have had fear? Now, I know everyone else will say we trust God. But here's the realm where we really find out where the rubber meets the road is when does fear begin to take a hold in my life? Because fear is the opposite of faith. It's anti-faith. Now, I'm not talking about somebody coming up to you and saying, boom, and you jump. That's just being a little scared, a little startled at something. But I'm talking about when fear begins to reign in your heart, when you start thinking about things and it starts consuming you whether or not you can go ahead and do this or that because that might happen. I might not be able to make it. Well, you know what? Kings and priests that we've called to be makes choices. And sometimes the choices aren't the best, but you learn from those mistakes, don't you? Let them go. Let you make your mistake. If I don't ever make a mistake, I'll never change my thinking. Sure, you're responding to the fear. You're cultivating the fear unless you make your decision. Fear hasn't got anything to do with it. Do what you got to do. And God will take care of the rest of it. If you do what God tells you to do, you don't have to worry about what the repercussions are. He'll take care of it. So he fled with all that he had, and he rose up and passed over the river, the Euphrates River, it should say, and set his face toward Mount Gilead. And it was told to Laban on the what day? On the third day he left. You know what? When I came to my third day, they found out I was gone too. When you come to your third day, guess what? You'll find out you're gone. They'll all know you're gone. You know why? Because you're an alien to them. How many times does God say in this book that we are aliens and sojourners? We're just passing through. And we were temporarily there, and they thought they put their meat hooks in us and they could hold us down. That's all it is. It's just the way God puts things together. You know, they can't control us. When the time comes, we'll come out of it, just like Jacob was under Laban. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days. Now, see, when we come to this third day, and I've heard a long time, 3 days, 7 days, same thing. I've probably said it myself a few times. But there's a difference between 3 and 7. Third day, there's 4 extra. Yeah, there's 4 difference. But what's the difference spiritually in this? In the third day speaks of one thing, maturity. It's a growing place. But it took him 7 days, and 3 and 7 together makes 10, don't it? But he took this 7 days to get to him, and it was just like the 7 days of creation. It's going to take a lot longer. Some people are called to come out of this thing in the third day, and some are called out in the seventh day. In Scripture says this, in the Old Testament, it says that in those that are clean in the third day, on the seventh day, they will clean the others. They will cleanse them. The ones that's clean on the third day will cleanse the ones that's not clean on the seventh day. What's that tell you? We've got a job to do. But we've got a job to do. And what's our first job? Get myself cleaned up in the third day so I can clean out everybody, help everybody else get cleaned up in the seventh day. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said to him, take heed that you speak not to Jacob good or bad, right? It literally says good or evil. Don't speak good and don't speak evil. So he's telling him, don't lay your hand on him. Don't hurt him. You know that Laban had it in his mind to hurt him and get even with him because he took everything he had. But God did it, and he said, leave him alone. And Laban overtook Jacob. Now Jacob had pitched his tent in the mount, and Laban with his brethren pitched in the mount of Gilead. They did it also. And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done? You stole away my heart and carried away my daughters as captives with the sword. He said, you stole away my heart and took my daughters and everybody with you. He said, why did you flee away secretly and deceive me and did not tell me that I might have sent you away with mirth, which represents gladness, and with songs and with tabouret and with harp? And you have not permitted me to kiss my sons and daughters. You have now done foolishly in so doing. He said, why didn't you just be honest with me and tell me up front? Well, if you're a Jacob nature, is it to be up front with everybody? Jacob is a conniver. He's a trickster. And he knew he already judged him by the flesh. The book says we know no man after the what? See, so we should see no man. We should see no man after the flesh. So why should we judge anybody else by the flesh? Huh? Should we? Who should we judge after the flesh? No man. Did Jacob judge him after the flesh? Yes, he did. He judged Laban after the flesh. He saw what he had done in the past and used that to judge him again. Was Jacob trusting God to provide? Although he said God provided, he was still trusting his own ability to ditch out, to get away from everything, see? Sneak out, rather than being upfront about it and trusting God to do it. So just showing there's weaknesses in us as we progress through our walk with God. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. God will deal with them when the time comes. And verse 28 says, you not permitted me to kiss my sons and daughters. You've now, 29, let's go to. It is in my, is in the power of my hand to do you hurt, but the Elohim of your father spoke to me last night, it should say, saying, take thou heed that you speak not to Jacob good or evil. And now because you would needs be gone, you mean you desire to be gone, because you really long after your father's house, yet why have you stolen my God or my idols? And look how Jacob responds here. And Jacob responded and said to Laban, because I was what? I was afraid. Why did you do what you did? Because I was afraid. Does that sound like a godly answer? Come out of the carnal mind, didn't it? Come out of that carnal mind. He said, because I said, peradventure thou would take by force thy daughters from me. Now, he's saying, I did all this. But see, now he answered a question that makes it look bad. The last question asked was, why have you stolen my God, his idols? Did Jacob steal them? But it looks like he did. He said, I did it because of fear. And he didn't even answer that question about that stolen daughter yet, stolen idols. He said, I was afraid you'd... If I trusted God, would I have been afraid? We're not knocking on Jacob. We're just saying, revealing the fact he was not walking in faith. If he had been in faith, he wouldn't have been walking in fear, could he? It's impossible. With whomsoever, Jacob says, with whomsoever you find your gods, let him die. Before our brethren, discern you what is yours with me and take it to yourself. For Jacob knew not that Rachel had stolen them. And Laban went to Jacob's tent and to Leah's tent and the two maidservants' tent, but he found them not. Then went he out of Leah's tent and entered into Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the images, or you know what the word for images is here? Teraphim is the word, the Hebrew word, 8655 in the Strong. And it means a family idol. Now she had taken the family idols and put them in the camel's furniture. The word camel's furniture literally is the basket. you know, the camel's basket, the saddle basket, and sat upon them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she said to her father, "Let it not displease my lord, because I cannot rise up before him, because the custom or the way or the manner of women is upon me." And he searched, but found not the teraphim or the family idols. Now, she sat upon them because she was saying in her manner of custom, she was having her monthly period. And in that time, you know, a man couldn't even touch a woman in those days because she was unclean for so many days, you know. That's what they called it those days. It wasn't really, but that's what they called it. And Jacob was angry, and he had words with Laban, and Laban responded and said, and Jacob responded and said to Laban, "What is my trespass or my transgression? What is my, not sin, the word should be offense. What is my offense that you have so hotly pursued after me? Because you have searched all my stuff and you have found all, and what have you found of all your household stuff? Set it there before my brethren and thy brethren that they may judge between us both. This 20 years have I been with you. The ewes and the she-goats have not cast their young and the rams have not eaten." He said 20 years. What is 20 years? 10 times. It's a witness of the law, but also there's something else 10 represents. In the book of Revelation, it says that the devil will cast some of you into prison for 10 days. 10, prison, bound up. It's in the book of Revelation. So you know what Laban was for 20 years? It was a witness of him being bound up under the carnal mind. And see, we all get our time under the carnal mind, don't we? The shorter the time, the better. But you know what? That carnal mind, the carnal mind is very good teacher if you're called to maturity. Otherwise, you'll just go along with it. Verse 39. "That which was torn of beasts I brought not to you. I bear the loss of it. Of my hand did you require it, stolen by day or stolen by night, made no difference. Thus I was in the day of the drought consumed, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes." Sounds like he was always ready, didn't it? In season and out of season. "Thus have I been 20 years in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters, and 6 years for your cattle." Totals up to 20 years, doesn't it? "And you have changed my wages 10 times. So every couple years, something changed, didn't it? Sounds like the carnal mind. You can't pin it down. Kind of like a politician today, isn't it? Can't pin them down. "Except the Elohim of my father, the Elohim of Abraham, and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely you had sent me away now empty. God saw my affliction and labor of my hands and rebuked you." When? Last night. I should say last night. Now he already knew that God rebuked him before he said anything. "And Laban responded and said to Jacob, these daughters are my daughters, and these sons, not children, these sons are my sons, and these flocks of sheep and goat are my sheep and goat, and all that you see is mine. And what can I do this day to these my daughters and their sons, which they have borne?" So what he's recognizing is, he said, everything that you have, it was mine. But he's still wanting to hold on to it, because God's already transferred ownership of it. "Now therefore come you come and let us make a covenant, me and you, and let it be for a witness between me and you." Jacob took a stone, set it up for a pillar, or a memorial stone. Okay? Wonder what stone he took. Christ was the rock, wasn't it? So he took him and placed him. Okay? "And Jacob said to his brethren, gather up the stones, and they took stones and made a heap. Upon the heath." And Laban called it what? Gigar Saha Dutha. That's the best I can do with that one. But Jacob called it Galeed. Do you know what that first big long name means? The witness heap. You know what Galeed means? Witness heap. They both said it two different ways, talking about the same thing. Yes, I have. He says a lot of things like it in two different ways. "And Laban said, this heap is a witness between me and you this day, and therefore was the name of it rightly called Galeed. And Mizpah." Now see, those two words, "and Mizpah," really should be up in the next verse above it, but they just put it down. That's King James. What's the word Mizpah mean? Watchtower. It means watchtower. Okay? And look what it says in 49. For he said, the Lord watch between me and you when we are absent one from another. So that's where the word Mizpah, that's where they use the word Mizpah, as a watchtower between us. He said, if you shall afflict my daughters, or if you shall take other wives besides my daughters, no man is with us. See, God is witness between us. God is witness between us. It's not what a man does, it's what God is doing. And Laban said to Jacob, behold this heap and behold this pillar which I have cast between me and you. This heap be a witness, this pillar be a witness, that I will not pass over this heap to you, and you shall not pass over this heap and this pillar to me for harm or for evil. The God of Abraham, the Elohim of Abraham, the Elohim of Nahor, the Elohim of their father, judge between us. And Jacob swore by the fear of his father Isaac. There's a word there, we've talked about it before. Nahor means sleeping or snoring. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount and called his brethren, there's your crucifixion, to eat bread. There's the fellowship. There's the communion. Right? They come to eat bread. And they did eat bread and tarried all night in the mount. They tarried at the place of witness all what? All night. Night speaks of darkness, which speaks of ignorance. As long as we're ignorant, we'll sit and eat the bread. Is that right? What was his goal, or what was his command from God? What was he supposed to do? He was supposed to go back to his father's house, his country, and his kingdom, not his family. He didn't do that. He's sitting down in the mount, right? Eating bread in darkness. And early in the morning, Laban rose up, kissed his son, and his daughter, and blessed him, and Laban departed, and returned to his what? Where's his place? Solomon said it best in Ecclesiastes 12. He said, the dust returns to the be carnally minded is death. Only one place for the dust to go, that's back to the dust. So the carnal mind's got a place. Jesus said he created hell for the devil and his angels. The devil being the carnal mind, the angels, the messengers being the thought process. Still in a process. Jacob's in a process. It's the same thing in our lives. It's our process. Are we all there yet? You can go into any Passover Pentecostal church in the world and they'll say we're already there. They think they are because they said forgiveness.
Yeah. Oh, and I have too.
Yep, but most of them think they've arrived. And you know why people think they've arrived? Because someone told them they arrived. Well, you know what? When I get to where I'm supposed to be, I generally don't have someone tell me, hey, you're here, do you? If I'm going to a place with milk and honey, I don't think that's a good restaurant anyway, by the way. If I'm going to that good restaurant, does someone have to tell you they're there? I can usually get a little discernment out of my nose where I'm at, can't you? I can tell where it's at. I can smell what's there. Yeah? And you know, I don't have to have no one tell me. And that's the whole point. If we grow to the maturity that God has called us to be in, you don't have to have someone telling you. You know yourself. See? That's the beauty of the thing. God wants us to be mature sons, not babies, not brephos, not nepios, not pations, not technons. But he wants us to be weos, the mature sons. And mature means we can do just like Jesus did. He walked by himself. He had no one holding his hand but God, did he? That's what we're supposed to do. We don't need somebody. We don't need a preacher to tell you how to do something. All that a preacher's here is to help you grow to maturity into the fullness of the stature of Christ. It is not to tell you what to do and what not to do, is it? There's no nothing like that in the book. I've said it for years. It's kind of funny, but, you know, when they come out of these seminaries, they all think they get a little badge that goes with it. They can be a sheriff. They can be a spiritual sheriff and tell you what to do. It's not about somebody telling you what to do. That's still law. And if you want to live under the law, you're cursed according to the book you're reading. So you, to come out from that curse, you've got to grow up and be a man. I'm not talking male and female here. I'm talking about a spiritual man. You've got to grow up. And you know what? It's fun to be a kid. It's fun to be a kid. And you've got 2 days to do that. And there's two realms you can play in a sandbox if you want to. But when you come to maturity, to that third day, you've got to grow up. That's God's call. And you know what it says in Hebrews chapter 5, I believe it is, or 6? It says, we'll go beyond the elementary principles if God permits. We've got to realize that if God's given us the door open, we got to walk through it. No option. Simple as that. I just encourage you to grow up, expand your horizons, know what God wants from you. And what I tell you won't make you complete. It's what God tells you. I'm only dropping breadcrumbs, leading you down the path. You've got to pick it up yourself. See? If me eating it for you do it, I'd be big as a barn. I'd eat it for everybody. But it just won't work. You got to do it yourself. Okay? I'm finished. Anybody got any questions, comments, or rocks to throw?